welcome back to another week of Eye of the Storm, a Guelph Storm podcast with myself, Ryan Drury, the voice of the Guelph Storm on Rogers TV. I'm very pleased to be joined by the longtime voice of the Storm on Rogers TV, a legend in the Royal City and in the OHL broadcasting community, my mentor, my great friend, Steve Fitzsimmons. Fitzy, man, how are you, brother?
I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying our new life in Nova Scotia, but I have to admit I miss OHL hockey and Friday nights at the Sleeman Center, and I miss you guys and all the great fans of Guelph.
Well, OHL hockey misses you too, my friend. I constantly have people telling me to give you well wishes and checking in on how you're doing. And, you know, for those who maybe don't know, you went out to Truro, Nova Scotia after 21 years with the team. For those who don't know, fill us in on what you're doing out there.
I took a job as the general manager of Truro Raceway, which is a harness racing track located in Truro, Nova Scotia. It's a track that had been underachieving for a long time. And a lot of people will know that I was the general manager of Hanover Raceway, and in the 3 years I was there, turned that track around from the most the worst track in Ontario wagering wise to the most improved in Canada. So I thought we'd take on another challenge of a track not doing very well, and we were up 104% for wagering this year, so we did some things right for sure.
Of course you're up 104%. Of course some things went right, because it's you, man. And I don't know how many people necessarily know how passionate you are about horse racing, because it's been a big part of your life since you were a little kid, right?
It has. My parents had a farm just north of Arthur with a half mile racetrack, and since I was about 11 or 12, raced horses a couple on the weekends. My dad was in another business, but love to do that as sort of his part-time thing, and we had so much fun with it. And yeah, I got a passion for it since I was a young kid, and I've owned horses myself off and on over the last 35 years. And when I had the chance to actually get into the business and actually run a racetrack, what a thrill it has been. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, it was a lot of fun to have you in the booth in Guelph. I feel lucky that I was able to participate in a couple seasons up there with you, and, you know, some volunteer work that I did, you know, in the years prior, all thanks to you. I don't know how many people know this. You know, I owe Fitzy my career. I mean, Fitzy's the guy that got me my start, and I wouldn't be in the booth in Guelph if it wasn't for Fitzy. So I've always been appreciative of your, you know, your mentorship and your ongoing friendship. And we got a lot to cover here, man. 21 years of memories. Let's get started. And Guelph, a rich franchise. They've gone through a lot of great players and sent a lot of great players, not just to the NHL, but to many other levels of hockey. In your estimation, who do you think's the best player in franchise history? Because there's a lot to choose from.
I'm going to say the best player in the 21 years I was there, because I obviously, you know, was a fan of the Storm before that and had some favorites for sure. But I'd say bar none, the best player that played for Guelph in the last 21 years is Drew Doughty. Came in as a 15-year-old. You talked about mentors. He was mentored by Ryan Parent, who at that time was the captain of Team Canada at the World Juniors. He was a first-round pick of the Nashville Predators, and the best defensive defenseman in hockey, bar none. And Ryan took Drew, a 15-year-old Drew, under his wing and helped him, you know, be able to showcase that offensive flair that he had, while Ryan, you know, cleaned up the defensive side, partnering with him. And of course, Drew became so good defensively as well, you know, after a while, but those offensive instincts have certainly shown throughout his career. So, I mean, you could see the talent, you know, literally from the first day of training camp. And I think a lot of people forget that Drew was actually the fifth overall pick in the OHL draft. I don't know. I know that the Storm really liked a guy named Luke Pither, who they ended up getting in a trade later on, who was drafted fourth. And so, you know, sometimes you get a little bit lucky, I think, too, because I know they liked Luke Pither, but Drew Doughty fell to them because Luke Pither had been taken. So, what a great choice. And I mean, he's a Hall of Fame. He's going in the Hall of Fame in the future. Obviously, he's had such a wonderful career.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks to, you know, your your praise of him there. Look what he's gone on and done as a pro, a second overall NHL pick, two cups, Norris. I mean, you can't go wrong with Drew Doughty. He was a stud in Guelph, and he continues to be a stud for the LA Kings. I feel like this might be a bit of an obvious question, and I feel like I know who you're going to say, and our viewers probably do too. Who's the best player you ever saw play against the Storm? Now, there are a lot. You saw a lot of very good players, but I feel like it might be a somewhat obvious answer. His initials might be CM.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to give you two. And certainly Connor McDavid is fantastic. Unbelievable. We all witnessed his mastery, and he continues to be the best player in the world, although he's going through a tough couple of weeks right now. But, I mean, he's going to end up leading the NHL in scoring, I'm sure, this year, one way or the other. He was ridiculous in junior, and, started off on a line with, ironically, Connor Brown, who he plays with in Edmonton now, who was the oldest player on that team. And I believe he was an overager that year and mentored Connor, and they racked it up, obviously. And history shows that, he was ridiculous and lived up to every bit of the hype. And there was a tremendous amount of hype about him coming into junior and obviously to the NHL as well. And I think he's done every bit as much and more than anyone could have expected of him. He's quite frankly going to be one of the best players ever if he hasn't already established himself there. But he was just the best player to play against Guelph. But I'm going to throw another name out there that will surprise some people probably, about a guy that just had tremendous skills. The things he could do with the puck were ridiculous. Watching him in warm-up, he was just incredible. And he just never really had that NHL career that I think a lot of people expected. But he was just crazy in junior and amazing with the puck, and is Rob Schrempf. I thought Rob Schrempf was a heck of a junior player, one of the best to play against Guelph. And it didn't really translate as well as he would have liked in the NHL for a variety of reasons. But Rob Schrempf, my goodness, if you want to teach a course on stick handling and shooting and playing with the puck, Rob Schrempf might be your man there.
Yeah, he was a ridiculous junior player. And Fitzy, I know that a lot of people thought that he was going to be a big NHL star, and it didn't quite work out in some stints with the Islanders and even the Oilers. And it just did not quite take off for him. And it's, that's the fickle nature of scouting. You got to go with what your eyes tell you. And sometimes it just doesn't work out for some guys. You mentioned Drew Doughty obviously being the best player you ever saw. Who was your favorite Guelph Storm player? Because I feel like I might know the answer to this too, because there are a lot of guys over the years. And I've been lucky, riding to the rink with you those couple seasons. We've had a lot of conversations. I feel like I might know your answer to this too, but who's your favorite player that you ever saw?
I'm going to give you a few, but I think one of the coolest stories and a great guy who made the most of an opportunity out of nowhere was Tom McCollum. What a story. I mean, the guy scouted by the Guelph Storm because one of the scouts, his son had played against Tom McCollum's team, and Tom was getting called up to essentially what we'd call Junior B here in New York for like a game, and happened to play in goal against that team and lost, but had shown something. And then they didn't quite think enough to use a draft pick on him, like even a 15th round pick. They invited him to camp and then he obviously won the backup job, and within a month and a half was the starter and an all-star. And he ended up being a first round pick of the Detroit Red Wings, and had some NHL games, but really had a nice pro career in the AHL, and just the most humble, nice young guy. Just a pleasure to be around. He was such a wonderful, cool story. So, and then he was such a great guy on top of that. I know our fans just loved him. So I'm going to say Tom McCollum. But as a couple other guys to mention, Ryan Callahan. I mean, what a neat story. A 15th round OHL pick, basically sight unseen. We drafted him as a favor to an agent. He came in and had a really good season, his first year he had 12 or 13 goals, I think, and ended up, coming back at the end of the day as an overager because he couldn't get the contract he wanted from the New York Rangers. Had 52 goals, I think, that year. Was the overage player of the year in the OHL. And he had a pretty darn good NHL career and obviously was the captain of the New York Rangers. So that's a neat story, too. And then, you know, we obviously have players that are drafted in the import draft. And, you know, there's usually, two for per team kind of thing. And one of the cooler stories was Raphael Rotter. I think a lot of people remember he was the captain of the Guelph Storm in his last season. But, you know, diminutive guy, but so skilled with the puck and just had a neat personality as well. And his enthusiasm for hockey just kind of, just people around him just got excited with him being around. And he just kind of lit up the room. And he was just a fun guy to be around. But he had a tremendous world of skill, and obviously he's been playing in Europe for a long time. And so there's my three: McCollum, Callahan, Raphael Rotter.
I'm a little shocked that I didn't hear Nico Daw's name, but he was fantastic too. I mean, and
yeah,
21 years, so many.
You can't go
there's
wrong.
Way too many.
I could give you 20. I narrowed it down to three.
He narrowed it down to three. You know, I knew you were a big McCollum guy too. Obviously, you've spent a lot of time around the team over a very long period of its history. You've been the voice of the team for a majority of its existence, really. And in that, you know, we've discovered over the years that you get to talk to a lot of cool people, and that includes the coaches. You've been around a lot of them. Do you have a favorite coach that you liked to interact with in Guelph?
Yeah. Looking back, I would say one of the neatest people was Dave Barr. And of course, Dave was a longtime NHLer, played in Detroit with Steve Yzerman and had so many great NHL stories, but he was he's a neat person and such a wealth of experience in about just hockey. And I mean, he's a lifer. He lives and breathes it, but just a great personality, a great guy that I know Bill and I and Trevor found super to deal with. And yeah, I mean, I was so happy to see him go to the NHL and do well as an assistant coach and for a long time, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I know, you know, he enjoyed working with your friend Jason Brooks quite a bit, and I know they still talk quite a bit. But yeah, Dave Barr, I enjoyed Dave Barr very much so. But another guy that was a lot of fun, and, you know, it probably doesn't surprise a lot of people that know him, is Todd Harvey, Harv. You know, he was an assistant coach, of course, with Scott Walker. It's great to see him doing so well with Vancouver as the head of their scouting, I think, their old scouting department. And, but I mean, just to talk hockey and behind the scenes, Harv is, he's a beauty, you know, and a guy that, I mean, you remember he won a gold medal as the captain of Team Canada at the World Juniors. He was a high first round pick of Dallas. Maybe didn't have the career a lot of people thought, but he was going to have. He was still a good NHL player. And, you know, I just have a lot of time for Todd Harvey. He's a great guy.
Yeah, a lot of people around the organization still do, and they should. I mean, he's a legend. Yeah, once you get into a conversation with Todd, you better be prepared to lock in for a bit, because he can talk hockey for an awful long time, that's for sure.
And he knows his stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that he's a rink rat, the very definition of it. You know, a lot of great opposing coaches have come through as well. Many of them have gone on to lots of success. You know, we brought up Connor McDavid. Obviously, Chris Knobloch's now his head coach in the Oilers as an example. So you've got to talk to a lot of great opposing coaches as well. Was there anybody that kind of sticks out in your mind from a visiting team that you were really, you know, happy to chat with from a coaching perspective?
Yeah, there was. You know, when this gentleman went on to an extremely successful NHL career, and I would say a duo, Peter DeBoer and Steve Spott of the Kitchener Rangers, who did a phenomenal job with that franchise when they were here, and have gone on to extremely good success in the National Hockey League. I would say they're both just class people, great at what they do, and just superior people. I just had a lot of time for them. We had a lot of great chats over the years when they were in Kitchener. Certainly, I know Bill and I both quite enjoyed both of them. And yeah, it's nice to see good people get rewarded. And Yeah, those guys did a great amount of good things for the Kitchener Rangers franchise, obviously winning the Memorial Cup there ultimately. But yeah, it's not surprising that that Pete DeBoer is having this kind of head coaching success he's having. He's maybe the smartest guy I've met in hockey almost.
Yeah, a lot of people would agree with you, Fitzy. And I mean, those two guys, not only are they legends in the OHL, but they've gone on, like you say, to achieve a lot of great things internationally and, of course,
exactly.
at the NHL level, too. They've been fantastic. Obviously, talking, to coaches, you're probably going to bump into the general manager every now and again, too. You had a few of them come through the Royal City. Was there a particular general manager, or maybe a couple guys, in the executive branch of the franchise that really stick out in your memory as fun guys to be around?
Well, we talked about Dave Barr, who was the GM part as well at a certain time then. But I'd say Mike Kelly, of course, he certainly has a special place in the annals of Guelph Storm history. He was their first GM, of course, and drafted, Jeff O'Neill, Todd Bertuzzi, and all of those guys, and started the franchise building it the right way. And then came back and guided the franchise to some neat places when he was back in his second stop. But I don't think you'd meet many nicer people in hockey than Mike Kelly. He would stop and say hi to basically everybody and ask you about how you're doing and mean it. And that's rare, I'd say. And just friendly, outgoing. He certainly was emotional about pulling for his guys, and I would have loved to see him get an NHL opportunity, and it just didn't happen for him, unfortunately, but I think he deserved it, and he was as good a person as he was as a GM, and that's saying quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely, and he was still there, when I first started kind of creeping around the media booth in Guelph in my early days, and just a tremendously nice guy, and of course a deserving recent inductee into the Guelph Sports Hall of Fame. And it was not a shock to anybody that he got in there. And you know what, Fitzy, you're gonna get in there too someday, I think. I think
that's unlikely, but you never know.
21 seasons of dedication. I don't know, Fitzy. I people have got in for less. And I'll be at the front of the line picketing for you. So,
well, that would be a wonderful honor, but I'm not really.
I think you're getting in. You're too humble. You've had so many great calls over your career. I've been lucky to be next to you for a few of them in your final couple seasons, which was a huge thrill for me because I grew up watching you on TV, and then got to work with you, which was such a thrill. And something I'll always cherish. So don't feel pressured to say anything, to do with me for this question, but you have a lot of great career highlights, a lot of great teddy bear toss goals. Those are always fun. A lot of big playoff goals and moments associated with players. We still see them all the time on YouTube reels.
Yeah.
If there were, I can't make you pick one, but cause I know what you might say, and it's a historic call, but if you could give me a few, like what really sticks out in your memory when you think of all-time great moments for yourself in front of the mic?
Wow. Well, if you're looking for just a snapshot moment, I'd say, the Ryan Merkley teddy bear goal went nuts, for several hundred thousand views and on Sportsnet and TSN all across the country, and certainly got a few texts from people all over the place about that one. But I mean, there's plenty of things like, seeing your clips on the NHL draft and things like that is very cool. But I would say my career highlight was the final game of the 2019 OHL final. I think people know that Sportsnet had taken the final in the past and broadcast it. And we didn't get that opportunity to finish off what we started, and that's what happens when national rights holders, want to air that across the country. And, I know people have said to me in the past that they would have loved me and Bill and Trevor to call those, and it just wasn't in the cards, unfortunately. But we did get the opportunity to call the 2019 OHL final against the Ottawa 67s, the final game, as it turned out, that we won on home ice. And the comeback kids did it again. and did it all playoffs. And you know, the electricity in the building, you know, from about 10 minutes to go, with Guelph leading substantially in the third period. I mean, the place was just electric. I thought the roof was going to come off, and just to feel what we were going to see and anticipate, and only 10 minutes away with a pretty good lead. And, you know, I can just remember, you know, Nick Suzuki scoring, and we realized, you know, realizing that this is pretty much it, you know, the Storm are going to win the OHL championship. So to be able to call that excitement was probably the highlight of my career for sure.
Yeah, that one sticks out, and I still get goosebumps whenever I hear the highlight of that at the end when you say a team of destiny, and they were. I mean,
they were.
And you call them the comeback kids, the amount of insane comeback, down 3-0 to London at 1.2 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like that team had a backbone, man, and you had such a great moment there to encapsulate what that season meant, and unfortunately couldn't get it done at the Memorial Cup. They will someday. I have confidence someday Guelph will earn a Memorial Cup, but that moment stands out for me. Me personally, obviously being, you know, very attached to you and our great relationship over the years, your final game as the play-by-play voice of the Storm, with, of course, the London Knights in town. It was like it was out of a fairy tale. And the Storm came back and tied it. They were down 3-1 in the third. They tied it at 3. And when Jake Carabella scored that OT winner to send you off the proper way, I was so excited. Everybody was emotional on the crew. And I was just so thrilled that they scored and won the game for you. And what's funny to me is someone brought it up to me at the start of this year. They went back and were watching that clip of your call on that goal. And if you listen ever so closely, because I was not on the mic for that, I let the legend Bill Granger come up and call the third and overtime with you. I felt that was fitting. And if you listen ever so closely to that clip, you can hear me scream yes in the background.
You know what? I've listened to it once or twice and I've heard that. Yeah.
You can hear me, but I was so excited for you, man. And that was such a thrill. I was so happy that they managed to come back and win that game for you. Obviously, you know, I mentioned Bill Granger. You mentioned him and Trevor a couple times. You know, to work with a guy like that, Bill, of course, a longtime official and a guy who's just an encyclopedia, started broadcasting up in Sudbury, makes his way down to the Royal City, and you and he are one of the most tenured and legendary pairs in terms of broadcasting in this league's history. When you look back on that time with him, and of course, Trevor being in the mix for 16 years of it, what do you look back on so fondly? Because you guys made up a really, really special trio.
Well, I appreciate that. And it really was an honor to be the on-air talent through a significant portion of the franchise's history. And I don't think any of us took it lightly. We enjoyed every minute of it. It's a thrill. But, you know, when people come up to you and they're 20 years old and tell you that they watched the you know, all the Guelph Storm games since they were born, you know, it's really humbling. And I know, you know, people really enjoyed our work and that made it so worthwhile. And both of them, you know, are great friends and tremendously talented at what they do and did. And I mean, what a thrill it was, an honor to have both of them to work with for so many years. With Bill, he started on day one with me, and I didn't know him actually. And I literally, my wife at the time had our son that morning of the first game, and I came to the rink. My wife said it was fine to go and call the game, which is nice of her to do, but and I'd never met Bill Granger before that day. And so I'm sure I wasn't much good that day, but we had a pretty good run together. And, you know, as talented as he is, he's just as great a person, if not more. And, well, you know him well as well. And, he, you know, there's no nicer people than Bill Granger and Trevor Pryor. And Trevor joined us about 5 years later and was the perfect fit for our team. And the three of us just had such chemistry together. And you know, we all had our individual talents of what we were good at, and we complemented each other so well. And of course, Trevor was a had played pro hockey, is from Guelph, and literally his uncle was the goaltending coach of the Washington Capitals, and he's been there, done that, and he knows people. And he was, you know, he played in the States and in pro hockey and in college hockey as well, largely because he couldn't get that opportunity that he wanted in the OHL, and or else I think he would have played in the OHL. But you know, for him to bring what he brought to the table was a lot of fun, and you know, he had a lot of stories too. So they both did, you know, from different places. And I was just a broadcaster. Those guys, you know, they had the hockey chops. I was just a broadcasting guy. So, and then of course, when Bill retired, of course, yourself, Ryan, you and I had known each other for quite a while and had done some other things together. And we had a fun show we had called Hockey Talk that we did on some of the local stations up north. And, you know, you're so talented at what you do. And you had some opportunities, obviously, to fill in over the years, and did a great job of that. And this just made way too much sense when Bill retired. And then, but the truth is, I mean, you know, your passion is in play-by-play, and you're a great color person as well. But, you know, when Mitzi, I moved
this
on,
this show's about you, man.
When
this
I moved
show's
on
to, be about you.
To this new opportunity, this just made way too much sense. I'm glad Rogers saw it that way as well. And you know, listening to your goal calls this year have been phenomenal. So I'm sure that's all working out well.
Oh my God, the show is supposed to be about the guest here, Fitzy. You humble me, man. No, I feel lucky that I got to be in the mix and be involved and around those two gentlemen, as well as yourself, for a few years as well. And, you know, you learn so much from those guys. And I think it's a stretch to say you're just a broadcasting guy, because you have quite a knowledge base too. But yeah, the stories from those two, and hearing about some of the road trips that Trevor went on, that's something that I'll definitely miss. He had some wild, wild tales, and Bill, yeah, from his reffing days. He's an encyclopedia. They both are. And you are as well, particularly when it comes to this franchise. And on that note, you know, we've talked about some moments as well. You know, you got to be a part of and watch three of the four championships, obviously 04, 14, and 19. Just some thoughts on all three of those, because they all came at very different parts or eras, if you will, of the franchise, and all featured some really great players that not only played in the NHL, but guys that went on to do great stuff in hockey afterwards. Just some thoughts on each of those teams that you saw.
Yeah, I have special memories of each one of them, actually. So let's start with 2004. And, you know, they had so many talented players. And of course, the leading scorer of that team was Marty St. Pierre, who was a diminutive wonder and had such tremendous talent. And it didn't necessarily translate for him completely to the NHL like maybe people thought it would. But on that team with so many high-quality NHLers, Daniel Paille, Ryan Callahan, an unsigned Daniel Girardi, who was unsigned and wasn't drafted in the OHL or the NHL. He did all right for himself.
Yes.
You know, Adam Dennis, what a tremendous goaltender, and now the general manager of North Bay in the OHL. But and a rookie, Ryan Parent, who obviously ended up mentoring Drew Doughty, had his own NHL career as well a little bit. But there's some neat stories on that team too. You know, as there was a guy, a 19-year-old rookie from Guelph, who had never played in the OHL before, that they gave an opportunity to, named Shane Hart, who was a contributor on that team and did a great job, you know, down the lineup as a third line kind of guy. And, you know, it was his only OHL season. And, you know, to make the league as a 19-year-old in your hometown and to be able to contribute to an OHL championship team, I mean, you know, it'd be an interesting chat to have with Shane Hart someday about just the whole experience of that whole year and how he looked back on it. But so he was a neat story on that team. And then a couple of acquisitions that they had to make to get over the hump there. Of course, Cam Jansen, who at that time they called him Bam Bam. And they got picked him up from the Windsor Spitfires for a guy named Ryan Garlock, who was a good player in his own right. And you know, Cam was very feared, but had a lot of skill as well, but you know, was feared for the gloves. I mean, he could drop them with the best of them, as
God,
we
he
saw.
was tough, eh?
Oh, the toughest player in the OHL and maybe in the NHL at that time. But you know, he brought some intimidation factor to the team, but also could, you know, bring some skill as well. So that was a nice acquisition from the Windsor Spitfires. And then they picked up Kevin Klein, the future NHLer from St. Mike's, in a deal. And he was such a huge contributor in the playoffs, getting about a point a game. I mean, I felt that year the situation with that team was the OHL championship was really in the semifinal, in the Western Conference final for me, where they faced the London Knights, the very stout London Knights, the Corey Perry, Danny Civrette, Rob Shrimp London Knights, and beat them in 7 games and had to win in London for that to happen, and then swept the final against Mississauga. So for me, like, the final really was against the London Knights that year. That was the challenge. And of course, that team went on to not do well in the Memorial Cup. And there's plenty of stories as to why that was, and that maybe they had a little too much fun off the ice, and not as much preparation. It's who knows? I mean, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I wasn't part of that. But certainly the stories are around that, you know, had they had it to do over again, they might have done it a little bit differently. But we'll never know. But they were a great club in their own right for sure in 2004.
Yeah, they absolutely were, and man, they were tough too. Jansen, it ran down the whole lineup really, and I think he definitely added a necessary spark, particularly in that London series. He was getting some business done, let's just say, and he continues to be an entertaining voice in the hockey world. Obviously, 2014, what a talented team, just a loaded offensive group. They had so many good offensive players and defensemen too, a great goalie in the mix. Like that team, they were, I don't know if you'd agree, Fitzy, but they were maybe the most loaded Guelph club that we've seen, like from an offensive standpoint. They
I would
could
say so, yeah.
score with anybody.
No, I would agree with that. They were deep offensively, and they had so much talent on that team. And as we've seen, a lot of it's done very well in the NHL as well. And you know, we go back and think, you know, Scott Kozmischuk was the leading scorer on that team. You know, almost 50 goals, over 100 points, and was a tremendous talent. Had just an incredible shot release that I think a lot of us thought would maybe translate to the NHL for him, and it fortunately just didn't work out for him to have a great. He's still playing, but you know, I thought he really would be a strong NHLer, and you know, he struggled to find that the chemistry in the NHL. But I mean, it was a treasure trove of current NHLers: Robbie Fabbri, Brock MacGinn, Zach Mitchell, Jason Dickinson, Tyler Bertuzzi, Pugh Suter, Ben Harper, like, you know, you name it. And every one of those guys was a contributor, a huge one. You know, Garrett McFadden, our bud, was a rookie on that squad and really didn't play too much, but I'm sure he learned a heck of a lot, and especially about leadership, as we found out later on with all the things that he's done with McFadden's movement, as much leadership off the ice as he had on. And that's saying quite a bit, because he had a lot of leadership on the ice as well, Garrett McFadden. But you know what? Some other unsung heroes I think about on that team. We had a Swiss guy named Phil Baltesberger, who loved to dish heavy body checks and was a real good defensive player. Maybe chipped in with the odd point. I always liked Phil Baltesberger. Justin Auger, you know, was a big, big guy, 6'7" or whatever he was, and you know, good third line capability. Ended up playing some pro hockey, and he may still be playing, I'm not sure. But and then Ryan Horvat, actually played for your Listowel Cyclones for a while, and came up and was a contributor for Guelph, and then Zach Leslie. But you know what? Mike Kelly earned his salt on that team, because he made two really excellent trades. The first one was early in the season. He picked up a goaltender by the name of Justin Nichols for a third round pick from the Sioux Greyhounds, and that may well be the best trade for a third round pick in OHL history, because Justin Nichols was tremendous in goal for the Guelph Storm. And there's no question he wouldn't have won the championship without Justin Nichols. But then, you know, we think back to a major acquisition where an OHL GM literally traded his son to the Guelph Storm with Kirby Reichel and yes. Nick Ebert coming over. You know, Warren Reichel generously trading his son and another, you know, Mr. Ebert. Now, he generously got 8 or 9 draft picks back for him, but he put his son in a pretty good spot. And Mr. Reichel did not disappoint and was tremendous, was a huge lift. And Ebert on defense really shored up the back end with another great, you know, pro type player that just made that team just hard to beat. And they were, you know, very, very stout. And as you say, maybe the best Guelph Storm team ever. You know, you could make a case for that. And you know what? Great coaching staff. Scott Walker, Bill Stewart, Harv, and Matt Smith, the goaltending coach, who's proven that he knows how to coach goaltending because he's obviously done extremely well with a lot of players drafted to the NHL, including Nico Dawes. So, you know, so many contributors on and off the ice to make that one a success. And, you know, they did win some games in the Memorial Cup. They weren't able to get it done completely, but they certainly gave their all. And, you know, they were quite a team.
They really were. And they ran into a really, really stacked and deep Edmonton Oil Kings team in that Memorial Cup and just could not quite get through that semifinal. So Fitzy, obviously 2004, 2014, two pretty good teams. And then we already kind of mentioned them, the 2019 comeback kids, the team of destiny, that Guelph Storm squad that featured so many good players already on the roster. And you've detailed in those previous two, some big acquisitions that were made. Boy, were there some huge ones that were added to that squad as they geared up for what turned into a playoff run that people in the Royal City will not forget anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And, you know, that team was built on initially homegrown stars. You know, you had Nate Schnarr and Isaac Radcliffe, who were drafted and developed by the Guelph Storm. And they were the stars of that team. And then Cam Hillis, of course, who got hurt and would have liked to be a huger part of that particular team than what he was able to generate. But then, you know, we augmented the depth of that team with multiple trades. The first one was Fedor Gordiev from the Flint Firebirds. And of course, that's a George Burnett favorite. He had Fedor in Hamilton, Flint, and Guelph and had drafted him for Hamilton, if my memory serves me correctly. But, you know, 6'7", great defenseman, solid defending guy with some snarl to his game. So then they made a trade with the Hamilton Bulldogs to get Mackenzie Entwistle, who had been on that championship team the prior year with the Hamilton Bulldogs. And, you know, obviously we know he's turned into an NHL player now. But the biggest trades, there was actually two of them with the same team, the Owen Sound Attack. People might not remember that it was actually two different trades, but they netted out Nick Suzuki, Sean Durzi, Marcus Phillips, and Zach Roberts. And, you know, Guelph had to give up plenty of good players, but they were all worth it for what ended up happening, of course. And, you know, I mean, Nick Suzuki was ridiculous. I mean, he was as good as any Guelph player has ever been in a Guelph uniform, was the Wayne Gretzky Trophy winner. What he brought to the table was beyond, I'm sure, what they were expecting even. Of course, the neat story, backstory is, of course, Nick is from London, Ontario. Isaac Radcliffe is from London, Ontario. They played on the same line as kids in minor hockey. And so it was a reunion of those two guys to play again. And they ended up obviously playing together in Guelph. But I mean, even Marcus Phillips and Zach Roberts brought an element that was needed. You know, Zach filled in a great third, fourth line defensive role, hard guy to play against. Marcus Phillips was an excellent defenseman, both defensively and offensively. And Sean Durzi, I mean, look at what he has done in the NHL. He's almost a point a game right now. And you know what? He was just as good in junior for Owen Sound and then for Guelph. But I mean, all four of those guys brought something to the table. But then you think back to the other players that were on that team, the Liam Howells of the world, the Dmitry Samarukov, who could body check you into next week with a force that was beyond crazy, you know, and great hip check that he had, a lost art in my mind in junior hockey and in the NHL as well. The unsung Alexei Toropchenko, who was turned into a pretty good NHL player for St. Louis. And I think a lot of people might be surprised when they look back and realize, you know, he was on that team and, you know, he's turned into a good player. And then the underrated Jack Handley, who we call Jack Handy, the takeoff of the Saturday Night Live thing at the Bill Granger special there. But, you know, he was good. Daniel Chayka was a rookie on that club, you know, who would go on to obviously be so good for Guelph and was good that year too. And then another homegrown guy, Cedric Ralph, diminutive, but hardworking. Nobody would outwork Cedric Ralph, and he chipped in offensively and, you know, was trusted in a lot of different situations. And then in goal, they had Anthony Popovich, Big Poppy, and Nico Daws was his backup. And of course, the big thing was, do they have good enough goaltending? Is the goaltending going to work for this team? And, you know, George felt that it was, and he was right. And that goaltending was good enough to go all the way. And they darn near won the Memorial Cup as well. But, you know, that team was on the brink multiple times, as we know. You know, they were down 3-0 to London, and it took, you know, a rallying cry from a couple of London guys, ironically enough, Nick Suzuki, and a visit from Drew Doughty, a pep talk to his former team, to tell them, you guys can do this. And they did, and kept going past the London Knights onward to the OHL title and to the Memorial Cup. And, you know, they did it the hard way. they gave a few people some heart attacks along the way you know, being right to the brink before they were able to rally. But I think that says a lot about their character. And as we've seen, they've had a lot of success, people that were on that team. So, you know, that team is very special to me. And that was a lot of fun to call that run. And I think we thought it might be over several times before it was. It was looking rough, obviously heading to London 3-0. It was looking tough, but they found a way to get it done. And that's why they call them the Comeback Kids.
Yeah, and they forever will, and it'll live large and long in the annals of history of the franchise. And I know that a lot of people, myself included, watching all that go down, were very excited when the run kept continuing numerous times when it looked like it was on the cliff's edge. And I know a lot of people, including the players and their families, they're going to look back on all those great calls that you made along that run, including that great call at the end that still makes my hair stand up. I hope I'm lucky to have something like that in my career. Everybody's going to remember that, the team of destiny. Yes, they were. You know, Fitzy, obviously throughout your entire career, working with the Rogers team and numerous different producers and crew members. And, you know, you look back on that and it's pretty special. It was a special group to be a part of. It continues to be a special group. When you reflect back on all those long years and that partnership with Rogers, you know, how special is that? And how special are they in the communities that they serve?
Very special. And I had a tremendous relationship with the good people at Rogers, who always had my back. And, you know, I needed it a few times with, you know, things that I might have said on air that some people didn't like and things like that over the years. But, you know what? It started with Chris Schooley, who gave me a chance as my first producer and hired me to be a part of it all. And all the way through to Ryan Manahan, who continues to be your producer now, and probably 10 people in between, all of them great people to work with. But I think about the volunteers. You know, the volunteers are the lifeblood of Rogers TV and of Guelph Storm hockey on Rogers TV. And there's so many of them who are either broadcasting students learning or sometimes not even that just wanted to be part of it all. And, you know, there's so many good people you have right now. The Ember Campbells and the Chris Palmes of the world who give their heart and soul week in, week out to make the best product that they can for the good people at home watching. And quite frankly, in the time I spent with Rogers, it went from being not as good to being extremely world-class production wise. You know, I think what you thought of Rogers TV in 2002 and what you think of Rogers TV in 2023 is quite different. And the world-class level that they've brought that the whole channel to in that time is impressive. And certainly technology is part of it, but I think the people are the big part of it. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I look back too to see some of the successes of people that have went on to do great things and, you know, be part of the broadcasting industry from behind the scenes. So, you know, I'm happy for them. And it was my pleasure to work with them. And, you know, they were always great to me. The volunteers, I enjoyed talking with them at the picnic tables for 21 years, you know, about OHL hockey and NHL hockey sometimes. And, you know, that was fun coming in from the carport to talk with those guys and gals. And it was kind of a highlight of being part of it all. And you know what? And a lot of those people got basically pizza and the experience on the resume for doing it. And they did it so well. And I just can't say that enough. And I know people from home don't understand what they've put into it. But the product that reaches you is because of the great people that put so much into it. And I have nothing but tremendous respect for them. And I just super enjoyed my time being part of it all. And I hope I left the place better than I found it. You know, the Guelph Storm themselves, you know, like Lindsay Newby and all the great Guelph Storm people I've dealt with over the years have always been first class to work with and deal with. And it's just a first class organization. And I'm really proud to say that. And it was fun to be part of it all.
Well, it was fun to have you be part of it. And it was, you know, especially special for me. You know, obviously we've been friends for a long time and all the way back from the hockey talk days to getting to join you in the booth on rare occasion. If you know, Trevor or Bill were away and then obviously getting to join you up there full time and be there to wish you well as you left for out East. It's been really, really special for me. And this episode's been really special for me to record. And I know that a lot of Guelph fans and, you know, the Storm Trackers and everybody from our crew and the franchise themselves right on down are going to have a lot of fun watching this one because you provided a lot of fun for so many people over the years, buddy. I'm so grateful to you. I'm so excited to have you on the show and I love you, pal. This has been so much fun.
Likewise. And it was so much fun going down memory lane and it was a lot of great memories. And you know what, if I could make one prediction, you know, I think we're going to someday see Ryan Drury in pro hockey as well somewhere down the line. So there's my prediction in 2023 for people to remember Ryan Drury. You know, we see our good friend Aaron Cooney doing just that. And I think Ryan Drury is going to find his way there too.
Thanks, pal. Well, it's because I was lucky to learn from the best, in my opinion. So that'll be a big reason why. Fitzy, thanks so much, brother. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, remember, you can find this show on YouTube. You can also find it on Spotify and Apple. And if you can't find it, you can always go to the Guelph Storm website. They have links posted to the show there. And hey, if you want to get down to the Sleeman Center this year, you can visit the Guelph Storm website or the ticket office at the Sleeman Center. Another week here on Eye of the Storm, a Guelph Storm podcast. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks for watching and listening.